just how much we can bear. Well, good morning. How many of you love the Lord today? Super Bowl Sunday. I want to welcome everyone today, and certainly our guests, the Robinson twins. We're grateful to have them with us today, one of the twins. And just great to have all of you all. Those that's joining online, we thank God for you. Our young people did a great job. Amen. And I know that a lot of you are going to be deciding on who's going to win Super Bowl. Some of you, your teams are not even in this. But now, here's the point. I noticed that when there was cheering going on, it was actually two teams that kind of, rose above all of the others.
That's the Eagles.
One was the Dallas Cowboys. And the other was the Washington Commanders. I guess the jury's still out on which one. I don't know. As you can see, I don't have a favorite team, so I'm just here. Nevertheless, we're glad to be in this service, and we're grateful to God that He's blessed us. Again, thank our young people and all of those that are just really doing a great job serving God as well as making a difference in the world. Making a difference in the world. I want to invite you to a scripture today. I'm not going to take a lot of time in sharing this, but it's an important scripture. It's very critical to every one of us as we think about decisions, the choices that we make. Our scripture is found in the book of Deuteronomy. I'm sort of getting out of Acts for a little bit, and then we're going to go back into Acts next Sunday. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. It reads, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days. And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. We want to talk about better choices for the best life. Better choices for the best life. You may be seated. Father, we pray that you'd bless us now and help us to bring out what we've studied. Help us, Lord, indeed, that we might share with people because they are making decisions. And I pray that they'd be the ones that would bring about blessings and fruitfulness in their lives. Help us as only you can do and reveal your truth. And we'll forever give you the praise and all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know some of you are wondering, how many choices do we make each day? Well, the research has been done, and according to a Cornell University research that was published in Psychology Today, there are about 35,000 decisions that we make in a day's time. Some of them are subtle. You know, what are you going to wear? Some of y'all still trying to figure out which is my team. But those are choices that we make. One of the providers of information that I found, it said that the choices you make will ultimately be the life that you live. You will make the choices, but then the choices will end up shaping your future. So with that in mind, we have to think about the choices that are in front of us. I'm bringing this message because of two things. One, there was something that happened very tragic this week, and it's not uncommon, but a young man committed suicide. That was his choice. I'm also bringing this out because I was in a meeting that the sheriff's office put on this week and talking about some of the choices that people are making as far as what's out there. not only the drugs that's on the street, but the information that goes through your mind, what impacts you, the choices that people make. And I want to bring out this scripture because I think it's very important for us to understand that God is telling us, make a choice. You choose. You decide on what is relevant. Now, God could very well say, I'll make the choice for you. But here he is presenting to the new nation of Israel that has just come out of bondage. He's presenting them with information and saying to them, I'm going to allow you to make this choice. Now, be aware what the choice is all about. It's between good, bad. It's between life and death. It's your future that you're talking about, making the choice. For those of you that really have lived some years, you're probably thinking to yourself, yeah, I've made some choices. I've decided something. Some things were good. Some chose to say, you know what? I'm going to do something with my life. I'm going to ask God to help me. You made that choice. Some have said, you know what? I'm just going to see what life is all about, and I'm going to live on the wild side. I'm just going to get out there, and I'm going to sow some wild oats. Remember, oats grow. And you reap the consequences of those choices. So what are some things that Moses is presenting? I want to say that the nation of Israel, the choice was made for them for over 400 years. What time you going to get up? Where you going to work? How long you going to work? Where you going to sleep? Those choices were made for them by their Egyptian taskmasters. They didn't have to worry about choices. They didn't have to worry about choosing anything except trying to survive. Only problem was, They're in bondage. There are certain things that you can agree to, go along with, and say to yourself, hey, this is working. This is fine. Next thing you know, you're in shackles. You're in chains because of something you chose for your life. And then you find out, hey, you know what? This is not for me. I want to say this early on in the message. As long as there's breath in your body, you still have one good choice, and that's Jesus. You have one good choice, and that's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what do we know about making choices? First of all, it is your gift. Everybody say gift. It's a gift from God. Now, why he would want to give us such a huge gift, I don't know. But he wants you to exercise your gift. There's no reservation in this scripture that God is saying, well, I don't know whether you're going to make the right decision. He puts it plain. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. It is your gift. Never let people decide for you what is right, except it be your parents. Because they've got your best interest in mind. But don't let the crowd decide. I'll get into that in just a minute because there are some things that impact our choices that we make. But it's your gift. God gave you a free will. Now, I will say this, and I was thinking about it the other day, how do you reconcile God's divine will, which is up here, way up here, my arm can't reach that high, but you understand, God's sovereign will. No matter what you think and no matter what you choose, it can never be above God's sovereignty. Okay? But then you get to our will, on our level, thinking on our level of thinking, and we're trying to make those choices in life, and everything, by the way, is not black or white. It's not clear as to what you should do. You know you've got to do something, and so you'd make that decision. But I thought about this. How do you reconcile God's will with our will? And I said, God narrows your options. There are some things that he will not allow to come your way because he knows you'll make the wrong decision. So he removes that. But then he gives you stuff that I call manageable. Now you can make this choice. The Lord got Israel out into the wilderness. They'd been in bondage 400 years, got them out into the middle of nowhere and said, make the choice. Do you want to live from here? If you do, here's what's going to happen. You can choose blessing or you can choose cursing. Now, if you've ever read the book of Deuteronomy, you know it's about blessing and cursing. Chapter 28 actually gets into that, talks about the blessing of God and the things that will bring about a curse. And it all ties to the fact, are you willing to commit to choosing God? You choose Him and you choose life. So it's a gift. Second thing, it's also powerful. It's powerful. Now, I know some of the choices you make every day, you know, what you're going to wear and what food you're going to eat, that's probably not important, except if you choose pork and you know you got high blood pressure, not a good choice. But some of the major decisions that you will make in life, who's going to be my friend, and will I hang out with this group, or will I take this class, or will I do this, and how will I live? Those can be some major choices. And there are times in your life where the choices you make is going to boil down to whether you're going to live or you're going to die. I don't want to minimize the fact that there are over 48,000 people in our nation committing suicide every year. 12 million people think about it. So they're saying to themselves, is life worth living? Let me just say to you, God would never put you here if life wasn't worth living. Yeah. Life is hard. Life is real hard sometimes. But my mama told me something when I was 9 years old, and it sunk into my heart. If life doesn't kill you, don't kill yourself. Amen. So as we think about the best choices, better choices for the best life, we have to also think about the fact that God wants you to choose right. Here He is in this verse. You can get the tone of God pleading with us. He's almost to the point of begging us that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life. Moses is pleading and telling the Israelites, if you want a future, if you want things to really work out in your life, make the choice. Make the choice. But invariably, we run into barriers, and I got to couple of things about what influences our choices. This came to me about 3 o'clock this morning, and I said, I got to add that to the notes. Choices are made based on information available. You get information. You have certain things that you say, okay, here's how I can make my choice. I've got my information. I've got it in place. And now I think I know what's right because all the information adds up, but information alone, as you can see, is not the only influence. You got this thing called gratification. What does gratification mean? Simply means I want what I want. Now, young people, your parents will tell you, much like the Egyptians told to the Israelites, here's what you're going to eat. So your parents give you a meal to eat, and no, you don't want to eat that. You want to eat ice cream. Why? Because ice cream is gratifying. But it's not healthy to eat ice cream all the time. And there's a lot of other unhealthy things that can happen to you, this thing called gratification. The Bible has one word to describe for that, and it calls it the flesh. It doesn't mean your natural body, but the desires. Now, all of a sudden, your desires are running into good information, and your desires are saying, I want this, but information tells you if you do that, you're going to get into real trouble. Anybody in the house? I think we got enough old folk that have made enough mistakes to realize good information doesn't mean a thing until you control what those desires are telling you to do. But there's another factor. Influences. Yeah, my mama had, she had sense for everything, birds of a feather. I know she got it from somebody else, but the way she put it together and how she said it, she'd always say at 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm trying to get home and get some sleep. Birds of a feather flock together. You lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Y'all, you know, your parents said it to you. So you've got these influences. You've got people around you. You've got good information. You've been able to say to your feelings and your desires, no, I'm not going to do that. But all of a sudden, now you got a crowd of folks, oh, come on. And to use the word, are you scared? As if to say, if you don't participate in this, you're not a part of our in crowd. It's happened to me, it's happened to you. So now you've got to choose. You've got to make another choice. Do I want to go along with this crowd, or do I want to go along with a crowd that's headed in the same direction that I want to go? The Israelites were now in the middle of making a decision. Who are we going to team up with once we get into this land of Canaan? Are we going to be God's people, or are we just going to kind of fit in with the other folks around us? All of the Canaanites, you know, the Perizzites, the Havites, and the electric lights, and all these light folk, you know. How are we going to deal with this crowd that we're going to be amongst? And God says, I put this question before you. I want you to decide whether or not you're going to obey me or you're just going to fit in. If you fit in and if you bow down to these pagan gods, you will be destroyed. God made it very plain. You're going to be destroyed. Some of you think we don't have pagan shrines in our society. I want to differ with you. Got a lot of pagan gods. The internet is one. There are people that worship that device. Take away their phone. Oh, what happened to my phone? I purposely want to get rid of mine. Influences. Not just speaking to you, not just whispering to you, but yelling at you. Do this now. And in the midst of it all, God the Holy Spirit says to us, I want you to choose life. I want you to think about your choice that you make. Whether you're going to live, whether you're going to die. If you choose me, you know, it's almost like, you ever seen that commercial? Charles Barkley is standing up among these kids, and he's telling the other kid, they're going to pick me. They're going to pick me. And then when he's finally get picked, he said, I told you so. Here's God saying to you and me, pick me. Pick me. I'll show you how to love. I'll show you how to get along in this world. I'll show you how to overcome. Pick me. Every time the gospel is preached, every time prayer is made for somebody, it's all about choosing God. It's all about finding out his way. And the last thing I want to get to, what influences our choices, rewards. Some people want rewards right now. It's like the microwave, you know. Before we had that, we had the ovens, and they could cook it in a matter of time. Before that, we had the old wood stoves. How many of y'all remember that? And took hours to cook stuff in. You know, you check it out and find out you hadn't made the fire, so you can't cook anything. Now we got the microwave, and we're mad if it's not done in 60 seconds. We want things right now. But rewards don't work that way. Rewards kind of work on a harvest principle. You plant, you water it, and you grow it, and then finally you get a harvest. God is saying, if you do what I want you to do, if you do and obey my commands, you're going to do these things, but the reward won't come until later. But it will come. I said it will come. He may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. It will come. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It will come. But you got to make sure that you're faithful and that you're saying, God, I can wait on it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If somebody said to me, hey, I'll give you $100 today, or I'll give you $1 million at the end of the year if you do such and such, and assuming it's right, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait till the end of the year. It's going to be Christmas time for me. You know what I'm saying? Man, hot dog, I'm going to really enjoy this thing. I have to wait a long time. The Christian life is not about microwave answers. It's about praying, trusting God, following him, and then finally we see God come through. I think it's important because people now, in the generation that we're living in, are so geared up to just getting everything right now. I grew up on the farm, and you had to wait until things would grow. You didn't eat the apples until they were ripe. If you ate them green, you suffered. I'm just saying. Go on, try to eat some green apples. You'll find out. I've been eating little green apples. I know you have. It'll tell on you. So information that we get, the gratification that we seek for in life, and the influence that are around us can impact our focus on God and on what's right. So I want to close by giving you five things. I told you this wouldn't be a long sermon, but it's going to be a very, very impactful sermon. Here's God using his spokesman, Moses, to relay the message, I want you to choose. Here I am today trying to plead with you. Make some good choices. Make some good choices. You make bad choices, you're going to cry later. Hey, let me see the hand that did that. You know, got, you know, you ain't wearing a t-shirt today because you got your team colors on. But you made those choices. How many of y'all ever had your parents tell you, I've been down that road? You know, you thought they were a saint, and come to find out, dog, they're just like me. Making choices. Five truths that we need to understand about the choices that we make. Number one, God's word has declared that you have a choice. Moses did not have to say this to the people. He could have gone on and allowed them to believe, okay, you have no power, just continue to have that slave mentality, thinking that somebody else is going to think for you. But as Benjamin Mays said, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Some people are wasting their mind. The one thing that you need to work for you, the one thing that you need to get up in the morning and say, you know, you can make it sometime if your legs and things are hurting and your back is hurting. But if your mind ain't working right, come on, talk to me up in here. If your mind is messed up, you're not going to make the right decisions. And so Moses pleads with them. He says, now, therefore choose. Therefore choose. Remember those 35,000 choices that you're supposed to make every day? Some of them not so important. Some of them very important. Put them at the top of the list. Before you go out of your door, as a matter of fact, before you even get out of your bed, start talking to God. Say, God, I don't know what I'm going to need you for, but I know I'm going to need you. Because if life has taught me anything, it has taught me that I cannot make it without you. Amen. Choice that you have. It's a promise. I read another promise that later on Joshua was going to tell them. They got a choice. Joshua said, now, if you don't want to serve God, Joshua 24 and verse 15, if it seems evil for you to serve God, I ain't going to church no more. Go on with your bad self. I agree church is not perfect. But I don't come because it's perfect. Because the moment I step in the door, it just ceased being perfect. I come because if God said, you worship me, I will show up. How many of you had God to show up in your life? I'm not coming to church because this one said that and this one doing that. I came to see Jesus. I came to seek the Lord because he's the one that has the answer. It's your promise. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve God. It's a promise. Here's another thing that Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28 and 29. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. In other words, make the choice. Choose me, pick me, and I'll make the difference in your life. Second truth that we find is that your future is impacted by your choice. You can't get back. Somebody twist my arm. They made me make the. They didn't make you make the choice. The influences may have been there. Yeah, and the information may have been there. All the things that you wanted to see happen, that may have been there. But ultimately, you cannot blame anyone except yourself. It'll impact your future. I don't know about y'all. I want to live. Now, Francis, I know I'm going to leave this world one day, but I don't want it to be tomorrow. So I'm going to do some things that I don't like to do. I'm going to eat food that I used to go, ooh. I'm going to take medicine that I still go, ooh. Because I know it helps me. It does not mean that every choice you make is going to feel good. You don't go to the gym because it makes you feel good. You get worn out. Especially when you get a certain, you know, I remember I could lift 100 pounds, 150 pounds over my head. I can't even lift my hands over my head sometime now. But Crystal, I know if I don't work out, it's going to get worse. Make the choice. It impacts your future. And one of the choices that you can make, a good choice, take care of your body. I know I got some old folks out there that say, Lord, the stuff that I had to endure in this body is a wonder I'm still here. But you're still here. Make the choice. It impacts your future. Moses wanted them to realize that tied to their choice was God's promise that he would take care of them. In other words, if you choose me, I will make sure that you have a secure future. Notice the term, you will love the Lord. You obey him. He is your life. People don't look at that. They said, I got a life of my own. You know, the main philosophy that's influencing America today, I want to be an individual. Well, it's funny, you ain't in the world by yourself. Other people are around you, which means you got to be a citizen. You've got to be a part of the community. You got to make the choice, not just for yourself, but for others. Did you not know that every choice that people make that's bad, it doesn't just influence them, it influences the relationships that they have, the family. You know, because you did something that you shouldn't have done, now the whole family's paying for it. You got to think about it. I'm preaching this message because it needs to be said. People allowing others to say, well, ain't none of my business. Well, guess what? If it's in your family, it is your business. If it's in your church, it is your business. Go over to somebody and say, hey, are you sure you want to make that type of decision? Are you sure that's something that is going to go well? I don't mind anybody coming to me in love and say, Pastor, maybe that's not the right thing to do. Hey, I might get mad at you. I might tell you, ain't none of your business. But guess what? I'm going to get back and I'm going to think about it and say, you know what? What they told me made some sense. You know me, I take a little while. I'm hard-headed, okay. But my point is, your future depends on the choice that you make today. Don't take it lightly. Number three, moving right along. God is there to help you choose. I'm going to be talking about more of the Holy Spirit on next week, but there's this thing called the promptings of the Holy Spirit. He prompts us. He pushes us. He urges us. You can't see him, but sometime he'll speak to your heart when you're getting ready. How many of your young people got ready to do something? All of a sudden, you heard something pop in your mind like, that ain't right. Raise your hand if you're honest. Okay. And you say to yourself, you know what? I don't think I'm going to do that. You made the best choice that you could ever make. Yeah, people going, oh, you just scared. Yeah, I'm scared. Because my future depends on my choice. God is right there to help you. To the Israelites, he was the visible cloud that went ahead of them, that hovered over them, that took care of them. To you and me today, he's the Holy Spirit that dwells within, that talks to you, that comforts you. Some of you older ones, I know you've awakened in the middle of the night and you needed somebody to talk to, and guess what? God was right there to listen. You didn't hear an audible voice, but you heard something speaking in your heart to tell you it's going to be all right. All you got to do is just follow me in the morning. I'll show you what to do. I'll show you how to handle this. And sure enough, you get up the next morning, say, okay, God, I'm ready. And God leads you directly to the thing that you need to do. And the problem seems, oh, why was I so worried? Because that's you. That's me. But you made a right choice. You gave it to God, and God handled what you need. Anybody in the building? So he says to them, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may, look at the word, cling to him. How many of y'all feel that the world is messed up and getting even more messed up? It's people say we're going into World War III. Anytime you got a war, you're in a war. Does that make sense? Okay, whatever. But we have an issue where there's fighting everywhere. Homes are being destroyed. Lives are being destroyed. I'm not talking about just the physical bombs that drop. I'm talking about the bombshells that you get about something that has happened in your family. Next thing you know, you're on your knees. But when you're on your knees, that's when you can really choose. You can talk to God all you want. And don't you know that God will make a way out of no way? Yes. Let me hurry up and finish the sermon. I want to just speak straight today. So you got to choose. Fourth thing is that you learn to love God by choosing. Some of you have made a decision in recent weeks to follow Christ, and you've made a commitment to him, and you've, of course, followed through with baptism. Some of you have rededicated your life. Especially since the beginning of the year, you've said to yourself, you know what, I haven't taken God seriously before, but I'm going to take him seriously now. Now it is up to you to choose his will over yours. Why is that important? By loving God and by loving his will, you find out that he's going to bless you a whole lot more if you do what he wants versus him having to drag you to the kingdom. And a lot of people, they rebel. But I'm going to tell you something. The old preacher preached a long time ago, your arms are too short to box with God. He'll knock you out every time. When you learn to love God, you learn to surrender to his will and say, okay, God, this doesn't look like I think it should look, and things are not adding up, but I know from following you that I trust you. And when you trust him, God can make a way out of no way. Doors that you thought were closed, he'll open them. As I was listening to Judge Robinson's biography and then Dr. Robinson, I'm listening to the fact that they had gone through, it made it seem so easy, didn't it? But I guarantee if you get them and ask the question, was it easy? They would tell you, oh, no. struggle is there. You're going to have struggles. But I can tell you one thing, you're going to have God with you through every struggle. Amen. You'll never be in a storm by yourself because the Lord did not bring you this far to leave you now. Amen. Lastly, I want to close with the fact that God backs up every good choice. He backs it up. One of the things I've learned to look for, Rod, when I open a package that I get from Amazon, you know, they give you stuff, and it's usually in the package, in the box, and it's different, you know, parts, components, and you got to put it together. And while my wife goes, oh, no, I'm going like, oh, man. But I've learned to look for the warranty. The warranty. What happens if it breaks? I want to tell you something, and some of you already know it. Life is going to break you. I know that's a bad way to end a sermon. You're telling me that life is going to break me? Yeah, because it's hard. It's going to break your heart. You're going to find yourself crying a lot and praying a lot. But do you not know that God gives a warranty on every promise that he makes? I'm going to be with you. I, the living God, will be with you. Amen. So every choice you make, God says, I'm going to back it up now. I'm going to be by your side. When you're on your knees, I'm right there with you. When you feel like the world is closing in on you, I will be there to comfort you. Amen. I will be your God. Yes. I will be the sovereign ruler of your life. Yes. And one of the things that he has guaranteed, you're going to make it to heaven. You will make it to heaven. Why? Because he's already paid for your trip. Amen. All to Jesus. I surrender. I surrender all. And so the old hymn comes to mind. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. I want to ask you, Crossroad, will you make the right decision about your life and about your future and about serving God? Yeah, the way gets rough, gets hard sometimes, but the same God who's been walking with you will continue to walk with you all the way home. Can I get a witness? I want to give the invitation. Like I said, this has been a very sobering message. It's been a sobering week for me. And, you know, the devil wanted me to kind of say, well, you know, the world is just bad. Just let it go. No, I said, no, you know what? I'm going to preach. I'm going to declare God's truth that you got a choice. You're not trapped. You're not at the end of your road. You're at a place where you can hold on to Jesus. And if you hold on to him, my King, the one I serve, can make a way out of no way. How many of you believe that? Everybody stand. Everybody stand. I'm going to give the invitation. Anyone need the Lord? Want to be a part of our fellowship here at Crossroad? We invite you to come. Those of you that are online, I know that you can't come in here to worship with us, but you can correspond with us. Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, and we'll try to correspond with you. And I want all of you to do something. I want you to share this message. If you feel like that this has helped